And very, very recently, they are seeking to introduce the aspect of mediation into divorces. Now, do you have to be a rocket scientist to see that what they are developing and trying to develop over a process of a substantially long period of time is part of Sharia already? So do they really have to go to the English system and go to other systems, and there are all these, this research that is being conducted, when the wealth of information is right here before them? Hence, my dear brothers in Islam, the work which the Darul Iftah is doing and the work which this Uloom is doing is phenomenal. It is carrying Islam to the masses, and not only the Muslim masses, but also the non-Muslim masses, alhamdulillah. And the fact that you support by the splendid attendance here today bears testimony, alhamdulillah, to this particular aspect. Then there's the aspect which I found also that escapes people, and oftentimes I'm asked about this. Just the other day, during the course of a consultation, someone was saying, I have an option to purchase, or certain people have an option to purchase certain things, and I sat and I listened to him. Now, what is this term option? And business people would encounter this frequently. What is an option? Now, before I respond to that question, let us ask the question, what is a preemption? Because preemption and options are similar. An option is where one makes an offer to purchase where one is afforded an opportunity of purchasing something at a certain price, and he's afforded a certain period of time within which to purchase it. So I want to sell you my car, and I want to sell you my car for 50,000 rands. And I tell you, brother, you need to think about this, you need to go and discuss it with the elders in your family. I give you 1 week, and during the course of that 1 week, if you do not purchase my car at 50,000, I'm now free to sell it to someone else. Now, for that period of 1 week, I will not be able to sell the car in terms of the law to anyone else, provided you hold a valid option. If I do, you're entitled to institute proceedings against me for damages, and if you can, to compel me to comply with the terms of that option, depending on circumstances. There are lots of exceptions, but that's the general provision. A preemption, on the other hand, is where I tell you, I own this immovable property. I do not intend to sell it now. But when and if I decide to sell it, then I will give you the first offer to purchase. That is called a preemption, and the right which you derive from that is known as a preemptive right. The difference between options and preemptions. This is something in relation to which there's a lot of misconception. And really, you can execute an option. You really don't need a lawyer to draft it for you. Seek advice by all means, but really it's such a simple concept where you tell a person, you want to buy my property? That is fine. I now offer you this property for 500,000 rands, provided you purchase it, i.e., sign a written agreement of lease to purchase it within the period of 1 week or by a certain date. Here you have an option. Then if you want a preemptive right, you tell me, please, you tell me in writing that when you're going to sell this particular thing, you will sell it to me first. The other aspect, before we proceed to dealing with trusts and estates and wills, which I'm going to touch on, the other aspect which I find is a cause for concern to businessmen, and that is prescription. In fact, oddly enough, it is an aspect which I discussed with Maulana a matter of a few seconds ago. Prescription, in terms of the South African law, is something which does not exist in Sharia in that form. Prescription implies the prescribing of a right which a person has. For example, you lend someone money and he's to pay that money back to you within 1 year. And he does not pay that money back within 1 year, and because you're a generous person, you don't institute proceedings against him. And a period of 3 years lapses. As soon as the period of 3 years lapses, after the date when he ought to have repaid that money to you, you lose your right to claim that money from him in terms of the South African law. Now you might wonder, you might think, well now does this really happen? Because I haven't encountered this. Does it really happen where people exercise their rights to prescription? Well, I'll give you an example. I acted for an attorney not so long ago. This attorney had not instituted what is known as an RAF claim, a road accident funds claim on behalf of their client within the prescribed period. There's a certain period prescribed in terms of the act where you're claiming damages for injuries. You've got to issue your summons. That means instituting the action. You have to institute the action within a certain period of time. The attorney did not institute the proceeding within that period of time. When the attorney sat before me, or the attorney's representative, I asked why. Why didn't you do so? You had a period of some 2 years to do so. Attorney says, well, this was the reason. We thought we could settle this matter with the Road Accident Fund, because every time I communicated with the claims handler told me, look, so-and-so, who's my senior, is not here. He will be back in a month's time, so after a month I will revert to you. And after the month, of course, they reverted and said, look, my claims handler now requires this additional requirement, and the attorney now complies and satisfies the additional requirement. And it went on and on and on in this way until the claim prescribed, and they said, sorry, the claim has prescribed. I tried to have that claim resuscitated by way of an application for condemnation. Unfortunately, we were not successful with that, because the law is quite clear. Similarly, if someone owes you a debt, and note, businessman, if it is a debt, it prescribes in 3 years' time from the date when that debt was payable. So if you've sold goods and that debt is payable a month after date of invoice, from that you have 3 years, and if you don't institute a claim, writing a letter does not constitute instituting a claim. You have to actually institute action. The summons has to go out, has to be served, and that's when prescription is interrupted, except under exceptional circumstances. Now, I've discussed certain basic principles which I thought would be of concern to businessmen. Let us now look at certain aspects pertaining to trusts, close corporations, estates, and wills. These are such vast topics, one needs hours to deal with even the basic elements of these in a proper, adequate manner. But what is a trust? You know, a trust is an intimidating concept. When one talks in terms of forming a trust, it generally escapes the comprehension of the layperson. They think it's such a complex institution, it's something which has to be left to the attorneys and the accountants to deal with, and scarcely do they understand what the concepts are. It's really a very, very simple concept. Trust, as the term suggests, has got something to do with trust. Let's commence with that now. Secondly, everything has to be founded. Everything has to be developed. If you're building a house, you have to commence building the house. If you want to establish an institution, you have to found that institution. I'm using the word found advisedly. If you want to commence a business, you've got to found your business or establish your business. So you have to have someone who starts or commences the trust. The law calls him a founder. Now, what are you doing? The element of trust now imposes itself. What are you doing? You're leaving something in trust. So if you're leaving something in trust, someone has to administer it. Who is the party that administers it? A trustee. So there are certain trustees, and it would be three trustees now, who are appointed as trustees. And what do the trustees do? They simply administer those assets and that estate in accordance with certain directions. They have to comply with that. And there are certain beneficiaries who are appointed. So you have the founder who founds the trust. You have the trustees who administer the trust in accordance with certain directions. And you have the beneficiaries who benefit from that trust. So, simply speaking, you've got some property. You say, look, I want to create a trust now. So this property will now be owned by the trust. It's actually owned by the trustees in their capacity as trustees of that trust, not in their personal capacities, in their official capacities as trustees of that trust. So the trustees now must administer according to your directions, how you said you wanted administers, what needs to happen to the rent, etc., etc., and you deal with that. And I'm sure there would be people present in the audience who are trust consultants, chartered accountants, I see a few here, will advise you, as will your attorneys who deal in trusts, as to what the implications are and how you can have a trust deed drafted which is Sharia compliant. The general principle of Sharia will be applicable. There are certain things you can do and there are certain things you cannot do. And of course, the Darul Ifta will be there ultimately to vet your trustee to ensure that you benefit from the institution of trust. Even though the government, and indeed SARS, has now imposed certain taxes which were not existent against trusts previously, there are still many virtues and benefits of administering your affairs through a trust. Then very quickly, a trust is not an independent persona, and I'm just going to explain this to you very quickly. An independent persona in terms of the law is an institution or an entity which has a separate personality. Here stands Muhammad Salim Khan before you. If I have a close corporation or a company, that close corporation or company will stand next to me. It's another person. Just as I am a person, it is another person. I am a natural person because I'm a human being. That company is not a human being, so the law calls it a juristic person. But it is a person just as I am a person. And just as I have a personality, that company also has a personality. So that company can conclude contracts independently of me. The same with the close corporation. The main difference between your close corporation and your company is that your companies are generally established to engage in bigger transactions and bigger business, and your close corporations, smaller transactions and smaller business. But they enjoy independent persona, and what that means is, assuming that company or that close corporation now engages in business and is sued. If it is sued, then you are not liable. That close corporation and the company is liable. You are not liable in your personal capacity, except under two exceptional circumstances, where you, as director in that company, has conducted yourself recklessly or fraudulently. In that case, they will go beyond this concept of independent persona and hold you personally liable. The aspect of wills. Wills are intrinsically linked and related to one's estate, the kind of property regime which applies to your estate. In other words, in simple language, how are you married? Are you married in community of property? And the majority of the people are generally married in community of property. And what that simply means is, you haven't gone and concluded an antenuptial contract. You have not had the antenuptial contract registered on your behalf with a notary public, with the registrar. So you've just got married and you've had your marriage registered. You're now married in community of property. What that simply means is, whatever you own and whatever your wife owns, all that is put together into one pot. You own 50% of it, she owns 50% of it. As you sit here now, that is the position. So if you were to divorce tomorrow, in terms of the South African law, she will be entitled to claim 50% of the estate. Now it stands to reason that when you make out a will, you execute a will, you can only bequeath in terms of your will your 50% of the estate. Because if you now in terms of your will bequeath the entire 100%, your wife's entitled to say no upon your demise, upon your death. He's not entitled to give my 50% share away to so and so. That's mine. He's not entitled to do that. So only 50% of that will be bequeathed. The Darul Ifta have looked at this aspect and they've studied this aspect very, very carefully. And the consensus among the ulema is that for you to have a will which is Sharia compliant, generally speaking, you have to be married by antenuptial contract. Now there are two types of antenuptial contracts. You have the ordinary antenuptial contract and you have the antenuptial contract by accrual. The ordinary antenuptial contract is one where, in lay terms, Whatever you own is yours, and whatever your wife owns is hers. Whatever she comes into the marriage with will always be hers. And whatever she acquires during the course of the marriage will be hers. Whatever you've come into the marriage with will always be yours, and whatever you've acquired during the course of the marriage will always be yours. That means you now execute a will, and when you execute the will, you are bequeathing what you own. No one can object to that. That is Sharia compliant. Now, the ANC with accrual, which is a relatively new institution or property regime, as the law describes it, provides that whatever the wife comes into the marriage with, whatever property, whatever asset she comes into the marriage with, will always be hers. Whatever the husband comes into the marriage with will always be his. Whatever they amass jointly during the course of the marriage will belong to both of them jointly. You see, this is a combination of your in-community of property marriage and your ordinary ANC. That also will give rise to problems when it comes to bequeathing your assets. Now, what's the solution to this? What can you do? You can do one of two things. You can either divorce, in South African law, in a court, now you're divorced, and then you remarry in terms of an ordinary ANC. But that might have certain negative implications from a Sharia perspective. To what extent does that divorce affect your nikah? The other and the easier way of dealing with this matter is by way of an application to the High Court. I've done a number of these. They're relatively simple. They're not very costly. An application is done to the High Court to change your marital property regime from one in community of property to one by ANC. You don't have to come to court, whereas with the divorce scenario, either you or your wife have to go to court, stand in the witness box, and give evidence for a short while. It's not a very long period of time, but you've got to go to court. By way of the application, you don't need to deal with this. Insofar as wills are concerned, please contact the Darul Ifta or contact Mawlana Muhammad Vanker of the Amshlanga Masjid. There is a Musalli from the Masjid who has gone to great pains in order to have a Sharia compliant will drafted. These are available in draft and available to the general public. Obtain these, ensure your matrimonial property regime, in other words, that part of your estate which will impact on your will, is Sharia compliant, in order to ensure that your will is Sharia compliant and that you comply with the provisions of Sharia insofar as bequeathing your estate is concerned. I see we're already at 5 to 1. I've exceeded my time by approximately 5 minutes. My brothers, there will no doubt be questions relating to these and other aspects pertaining to legal issues which affect Muslim businessmen, and you're at liberty to ask that during the question session later on. Shukran.
Jazakumullah, brother Salim Khan, for those important and pertinent issues pertaining to legal aspects. And I'm sure there are many questions that many of us had in our minds that have been sufficiently and adequately dealt by Brother Salim Khan. Jazakumullah again for that. Now we come to the next part of the program, which is resuming the session of Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab. In the first session that he spoke, he dealt with a number of issues, and inshallah, he is now going to continue with that.